The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
this is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Well, let's get to the action from last night. A fun game at Fenway Park. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Boston clinging to a 1-0 lead in the top of the ninth inning. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. came to the plate.
Breaking ball hit high and deep to left field. Tie game. The best hitter on the planet right now has done it again, and it's a brand new ball game at Fenway.
That's my man, Dan Shulman, and the words he chose right there, the best hitter on the planet, that jumped out at me when I heard that, and I'll tell you why in a little while. That sound from Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Well, as that game continued, bottom of the ninth inning, Red Sox at bat, Rafael Devers at the plate.
Swing and a high drive, center field deep. Richard going back by the wall. It's off the green. And here comes Verdugo with a winning run. Rafi Devers walks it off. A wall ball double that hit the IBEW sign out there. On the left center field wall, they're chasing him down in right center field as the Red Sox win it 2-1.
That was Joe Castiglione, WEEI 93.7 FM. At the top of the American League East for the Tampa Bay Rays, a win over the Chicago White Sox, but bad news. Tyler Glasnow had to leave his start with an elbow issue. We'll get more information today, but here was Tyler after last night's game.
Just the last like couple pitches, I felt like it was just like a little tug. I think I got it relatively early. I just was like, I don't want to go back out and like chance it. I felt it like the last four, like I said, that like velo and everything was still there, but it just felt not right.
So a big concern for Tyler Glasnow for the Tampa Bay Rays. Another potentially big injury for a pitcher who's so important to his team. Shane Bieber was shut down yesterday with shoulder soreness. He won't throw for at least 2 weeks, and then they'll make their evaluation going forward. Matt Boyd of the Tigers, who might be a trade candidate, had to leave his start with what the Tigers referred to as left arm discomfort. Andrew Benintendi, outfielder for the Kansas City Royals, was placed on the injured list with a rib fracture. Jeff Passan and I are hearing the same thing. Major League Baseball is expected to announce Tuesday that we will suspend players caught with any foreign substance for 10 days with pay to help curtail the widespread use of grip enhancers by pitchers. Now, interestingly, that's exactly the same penalty that's been used in the past. That is the precedent. When Michael Pineda was suspended for having that Gaba pine tar on his neck in 2014, he got 10 games with pay. So we're going to be talking about that with Jessica Mendoza and with Sarah Langs. You're not going to believe who may be the first pitcher checked of all pitchers in baseball. In San Francisco, Brandon Crawford came to the plate for San Francisco.
Crawford swings away and drives that one toward deep left center field. Carrying well, it is gone! Up over the left center field wall. Home run number 15 for Brandon Crawford. 3-1 Giants.
Dave Fleming on the Giants television network. San Francisco beats Arizona in their game in L.A. Will Smith got a big hit for the Dodgers.
High fly ball to left center field. Will Smith puts the Dodgers in front. First hit of the game for the Dodgers is Will Smith's seventh home run. And just like that, they lead 2-1.
Joe Davis with that call. The Dodgers beat the Phillies. At the end of the day, in the National League West, the Giants lead the Dodgers by one game and the Padres by four games. At Citi Field, the Mets and the Cubs. And in the bottom of the fourth inning, the Mets had a 1-0 lead until this happened.
Pilar lines toward left center field. This one heads for the gap, and it lands for a base hit. McKinney scores. So does McCann. Right behind him, he comes home. Two-run double for Kevin Pilar, and it's a three-run fourth inning for the Mets, who lead 3-0.
That from WCBS. The Mets added to their lead in the bottom of the fifth.
Now the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball straight away center. It's deep. Marisnik going back at the track, at the wall. It's gone. Home run, Dom Smith. So Smith, who has hit Jake Arrieta very hard in the past, has broken out of an 0-for-20 slump against Arrieta tonight with a single and now his fifth home run of the year. He hits that one to dead central, and the Mets have a 4-0 lead.
And they would go on and win 5-2. David Peterson was excellent in this game and a really important start for him because he had struggled in recent starts. The Nationals and the Pirates, and it was 2-2 in the bottom of the seventh. Kyle Schwarber came to bat.
The 1-0 to Schwarber. Swinging a long drive right field. This one's deep, way back there and gone. A line drive, home run for Kyle Schwarber. He has done it again from the leadoff spot. Home run number 13, Nationals back in front, 3-2 here in the seventh inning.
That from 106.7, The Fan. But in keeping with the theme of the day Monday, the Nationals, bad news on Max Scherzer. He tried to get through a bullpen session to check that groin that forced him to leave his most recent start, and he wasn't able to do that. Before we get to Jessica Mendoza, Sarah Langs, to talk about all that, The Ultimate Fighter is back. Stream new episodes every Tuesday, only on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC. This week on Fantasy Focus Baseball, Eric and Tristan talk about early season standings, Trevor Bauer's recent bump in the road, and preview the first half of the week. Follow Fantasy Focus Baseball wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
0-0-9-6.
This is The Numbers Game with Sarah Langs.
Sarah Langs, reporter and producer for MLB.com. And Sarah, the whole world is talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What a year he's had. First off, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you know Dan Schulman, the play-by-play man on Sunday Night Baseball for a lot of years. Of course, you hear him from time to time on ESPN, and he does Blue Jays games. Well, this was Dan Schulman's call of that incredible home run that Vladdy Jr. hit in the Blue Jays game against Boston last night. Give a listen.
Breaking ball hit high and deep to left field. Tie game! The best hitter on the planet right now has done it again, and it's a brand new ball game at Fenway.
So you will agree with me because you've been in these production meetings, Sarah, among play-by-play people or even analysts around baseball, the most agnostic person that I've ever met in terms of not wanting to put himself out there with opinions on a regular basis, because I'm willing to do it. Tim Kirkton's willing to do it. Carl Ravitch is willing to do it. Dan Shulman, that's not his reflex. And so when I heard that, would you agree with me? You've heard him in these meetings.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when he said that last night, best hitter on the planet, I processed that for a moment. You know, the Dan Shulman who I know to step out and say something like that. And I looked up the numbers this morning on Fangraphs. Wins above replacement among all Major League Baseball position players. He is first by far at 4.2. He's first in on-base percentage by far at 451. He's first in slugging percentage by far at 697. He's second in batting average behind Nick Castellanos, Vlad Jr. at 346. Weighted runs created plus, he's first at 206 by far. And this to me, Sarah, is the number that really defines how great Vladdy Jr. is right now. And that is that among all position players in baseball, he's 16th best at not swinging at pitches out of the zone. His rate is 23.9%. And to put that into context, Salvador Perez is over 50% of the Kansas City Royals. So Vladdy Jr. doing incredible damage, not expanding the strike zone. And as I thought about what Dan Shulman said, I thought, you know what? Right now, that's not an opinion. Dan was stating fact. What do
Absolutely.
You think?
Absolutely. I mean, my first thought when we heard that and everything was not even to think of that as an opinion. I mean, it's just true. I mean, if you look at absolutely any number, you just listed off so many and I could come up with 15 more. I mean, you know, to your point about plate discipline, he has 40 swing take runs this year, which is a Statcast stat that basically measures plate discipline. It gives you credit for pitches you swing at or pitches that you take based on where they are in the zone. The next most swing take runs by any batter this year, Vladdy has 40, is 26 by Nick Castellanos. Wow. So he is absolutely owning the zone, owning outside of the strike zone. And of course, I mean, him becoming such a plate discipline king is such a cool thing to see with how successful his father was at swinging at absolutely everything, right? Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I remember it on those Fox Saturday baseball games. They would always play that little, animation when Vlad Sr. was in a game, and it works for him. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, but Vlad Jr. is not doing that, and it's working really well for him.
Now, before we get started, you said you have some numbers on Vladdy Jr. Give me a couple of the numbers that fascinate you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there are so many. As I said to you before, Ann, I could do this entire podcast just on Vladdy. But, I mean, so he has 22 homers in 64 games this season. Only three players have had more in their first 65 games of a season as young as he is, at 22 or younger. And it was Cody Bellinger in 2017. He had 24. Harmon Killebrew in 1959. He had 24. And Johnny Bench in 1970, he had 23. And the reason I'm telling you that one through 65 is that if he hits one home run today, or he hits two home runs today, or he hits three home runs today, he could tie or pass those guys. And it's just absolutely incredible what he's doing. And I think that we all deserve credit maybe for being patient on him and letting him get into his rhythm, right? He wasn't this when he first came up, and so few players are. But we're still talking about a 22-year-old who's probably going to win AL MVP. It's okay that it took 2 years, and it's been so much fun to watch now.
So I was talking with Alex Cora, who just got a full eyeful of Vladdy Jr. over the weekend, about a potential comp for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And his was excellent when he said it. Was like, yes, that's exactly right. Because I kind of wondered if he was going to say Manny Ramirez, who was one of his former teammates. There are other, patient hitters with power. His was Gary Sheffield. Of course, the great bat waggle, the tremendous power. But he also was so good, Gary Sheffield was, at squaring up the baseball. He talked about how Vladdy Jr. is under control. And he's not quite as violent in his swing as Sheffield is. I love that comp.
I love that. I think that's a great combination of everything you said with the plate discipline and the power and everything else. And I just think of the intimidation factor. And there's so many great power hitters in baseball history who we could compare him to in that moment. But I was sitting here watching that game and I was kind of having a conversation about something else. And I said, wait a minute, Vladdy's batting in the ninth inning here. I need to watch this. I need to pay full attention, because you almost just knew he was going to do it. And I know they lost the game, and I'm sure Red Sox fans would want us to point that out. But what he's doing is incredible, whether they win that game or not. And that feeling where he steps up in the ninth inning and you know he's going to tie the game. I mean, there are not that many players who you can really attribute that to. And he's on that list now, which is amazing.
So after the Sunday night game at Wrigley Field, I got a ride back with Boog Shambi, who's going to be doing the radio side on the Home Run Derby. We were talking about the Derby, and I told him about my conversation with you last week. And I said, look, you know, I don't think a lot of people believe that Ohtani is going to do it. If he does, that would be awesome. Like, that would be so cool. We love the fact that Pete Alonso is going to be in it. You would assume that Vladdy Jr. will be in it. You would assume that Acuna Jr. would be in it. If we get a start, and it was also, I can't remember who I was having this conversation with yesterday, Fernando Tatis Jr., something you and I didn't mention last week, he's got that shoulder issue, and maybe the Padres would try to scare him off doing that event. But if you have a Home Run Derby that starts with Pete Alonso and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Ronald Acuna Jr., it's going to be an unbelievable event, no matter who else does it.
I mean, absolutely incredible. And two of those guys, we're watching that literally play out in the regular season too, right? I mean, you add Tatis there, and that's our top three on the home run leaderboard. But those guys put on such a show. And I know that we didn't have a home run derby last year because we didn't have an all-star game. But anyone, when you're done listening to this or while you're sitting here on your phone, Google up some highlights from that 2019 home run derby, because I've been to a couple of them. You've been to far more than I have. But that was such a show. And Vladdy put on an incredible show without even winning. I mean, in the moment, I think it felt like that was the home run derby where we'd remember Vlad and forget that Alonso won. And maybe if Alonso hadn't set the rookie home run record, that might have been true. Instead, we remember both of them, but it was absolutely incredible. And again, Acuna with the spray chart, as we've discussed, I mean, that would just be such an amazing trio, regardless of who else is even in there.
All right. We got about 5 minutes left, and I got two more big topics to get to you. First, three huge pitching injuries situations yesterday. Shane Bieber placed on the injured list by the Indians. He's going to be shut down and not play catch for a couple weeks. Tyler Glasnow leaves his start for the Rays with an elbow issue. Max Scherzer couldn't get through his bullpen session yesterday. We'll find out more about his situation. If I were to rank him in order of importance, I would put Bieber one, because I can't see the Indians competing for a playoff spot with him being on the injured list extensively. And look, when they put guys on the IL and say he's not playing catch for 2 weeks, that really means it's a wait and see, and they don't really know what's going to happen. With Tyler Glasnow, it's a big injury, and I'd put that second. But the Rays are so deep in pitching, as we saw, they managed to, you know, move forward this year without Blake Snell and without Charlie Morton. And I think they actually could do that without Glasnow because they're so deep. And the Max Scherzer injury, I actually think that might affect the trade market more than anything else, given how the Nationals played this year. What do you think about all that?
Absolutely. I agree with your ranking, because when I saw these injuries play out or the reports come out, my first thought with the Bieber one is just that the White Sox are now going to run away with that division. You know, in the same day, we got news that it sounds like, you know, Eloy Jimenez is on a good track in terms of his injury recovery. We talk about injuries, someone who the White Sox have pretty much not had all year. And I'm just thinking about how they could run away with this or clinch that division practically in August at this point, if the Indians don't have Bieber anchoring that rotation, because we know that they don't have much offense and it's primarily been about that pitching. When you take the horse out of that rotation, it's entirely different. And, you know, we've seen the AL East not be maybe what we expected it to be. And the Yankees continue to struggle. The Blue Jays have, again, I think the AL MVP right now, but they haven't had necessarily consistent pitching either. So I think that the Rays have enough of a lead there. The Red Sox seem to be fading that they probably can make do. And if you were to tell me even before the season, there's going to be one team to lose their ace and they'll make do pitching wise, I would pick the Rays. We always would pick the Rays for something like that. They always seem to find a way to get it done. And I completely agree that the Scherzer injury is, you know, an issue for a lot of these other teams that we've mentioned that could be interested in trading for him. I think the Nationals, even though the NL East is also weird, I don't think the Nationals are in. They're 28 and 35 right now, but I'm looking at these other teams that could really use a starter and could really use that acquisition. And all of a sudden, if Scherzer's not available, the starting pitching market in July is totally different.
All right. So I tease this at the top of the show that you're not going to believe who potentially could be the first pitcher checked under the new enforcement. Guess what? I went and looked. It looks like enforcement's going to begin on June 21st. Who plays the first game on June 21st? The New York Mets facing the Atlanta Braves in a doubleheader. Who is lined up as of this moment to start that game at home? Jacob DeGrom. And I thought about this for a column I wrote about, like, if you're Major League Baseball, that might actually be the perfect situation. Like, look, we're checking everybody from the best pitcher on the planet on down. And that's what the rules are going to be. Every starting pitcher is going to be checked at least twice. Every relief pitcher is going to be checked at one point. Actually, there's no indication we've had that Jacob DeGrom relies on foreign substances. But I actually think it's not a bad thing that he would be the first guy to be checked, because it would tell everybody we're going for a level playing field.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me in school of like when the best kid in the class or the goody two shoes, whoever it was, also maybe, you know, was subject to the same rules that the kid who was goofing off in the corner was maybe subject to. So that I doubt that they would find anything there. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, DeGrom is a velo guy. His spin rates are very stable over the course of, you know, pretty much his entire career. All but one of his seasons of his career was in the Statcast era. And there's nothing spiking or noticeable there. So certainly doubt that anything would be found. But yeah, I think that that would be to the point of we're not just checking individual guys. That would be checking everybody for sure. And again, best pitcher on the planet. We're talking about the best hitter on the planet earlier. Absolutely. Jacob DeGrom, best pitcher on the planet, and not doing these things.
Do you think it's going to make a difference? Because I do. I don't think it's going to make necessarily a big difference, but it's going to help offenses and it's going to help the action in baseball.
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, I think it's really hard to, you know, tease out the different threads here because offense always rises in June anyway, right? So we're already used to a lot of things going up right around these first few weeks of June. So I do think it's going to be potentially hard to pull out specific threads of what is coming because it's suddenly 80 degrees outside and what is coming because of these things. But I'm sure that we'll see, you know, pending exactly what happens, some effects on some specific pitchers. And, you know, I hope that it turns out the way that everybody wants it to. You know, I hope that this really, you know, helps put the game in a better spot, which seems to be the goal with all of this.
All right, Sarah. Good to talk with you. Yeah, that'll be crazy to see next Monday that, you know, Jacob DeGrom walking off the mound after the first inning and see him get intercepted by the home plate umpire. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Buster.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Jessica Mendoza, an analyst for ESPN on Major League Baseball and on softball. And Jess, huge ratings for you guys in softball.
Oh my gosh. Record-breaking. It was amazing. We had more fans than we've ever had because they built this stadium. It was first time. I know this is think this is sad. I don't know. It was the first time we've ever had a double-decker stadium in the United States for the sport of softball. And so we had more fans than we've ever had, record-breaking numbers watching. We had over, when we were at max, we were at almost 3 million viewers for the championship series. So it was unbelievably exciting because, I mean, you know, Lester, like, I love this sport and I love baseball. And what I love about softball, it's like a condensed, faster paced, emotionally passionate version of the game that we all love in baseball. And then to see these women go out and perform the way they did the last 2 weeks was really awesome.
And you're hoping, you know, I've seen the conversation online. I think you sent out some tweets about this. You're hoping that the NCAA will make a change to try to align the College World Series with the Softball World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be the same. And I worked Omaha in the College World Series for years. And Buster, the frustrating thing is, like, wrap your mind around this, okay? So same format, eight teams, okay? We have 3 days. So first of all, you're playing from Thursday to the following Wednesday in the same format. Baseball has double the amount of days. So what we play, again, the same format in 6 days, Omaha and the College World Series does it in 12. So you have all these cushion days for weather, for, I mean, there's all this like joking, like the guys can go golf. It's just like all spread out. I'm not saying that the women need 12, but we have 3 days where there are quadruple headers. Like literally we are doing 4 games in a day. And if there is any kind of weather, any kind of anything, these women, and this has been consistent, they're up until midnight, up the next morning playing. And it reminds me of like travel ball when I was like 10 years old and you're playing 6 games in a day and like cramming in all these games. And then I would go to Omaha and it's like, literally we have all these off days and like the pitchers need a rest. And like, I'm not saying that the women's tournament needs 12, but Buster, it has gotten to the point. I mean, coaches were, it was all over the news, like the frustration. The NCAA finally moved back 1 day. So they were able to have the championship series with some kind of rest. But, and when I say rest, meaning that we did 2 games in a day instead of 4. But this needs to happen permanently. And just because you want the best product on the field, like the last thing you want, I mean, you should have seen these women, they were showing up 4 or 5 hours of sleep, like playing 2 more games and they're exhausted. And this is the pinnacle of their career. Like this is literally like the highlight. And honestly, for our sport, Buster, you know, it's in the Olympics this year, but like the highlight for our sport, our pro league is really college softball right now. You mentioned the ratings. So like more people are watching the sport in college than they are anything else. So why are we exhausting them to the point where it's like, you know, for what, you know, so we don't have to pay for another night at a hotel. Like let's do what they're doing in Omaha, maybe not 12 days, but let's extend it to 8 or 9. So these women can actually have, you know, a game a day, not like 5.
Yeah. Right. And then, of course, because of that format, that they're so ill-equipped to deal with weather situations, you know, and they get absolutely messed up. I'm just following you from afar. You know, it was like, oh, there's Jess on TV again. And there's Jess on TV again and doing game after game after game because everything just got crammed with the way that it was going. And that wasn't fair to you. It wasn't fair to the players. All right. I asked Sarah Langs how she feels about the forthcoming enforcement of the foreign substance rules, which looks like it's going to take place on June 21st. If everything holds, crazy coincidence, it could be the Jacob deGrom, who's starting for the Mets in the first game played in Major League Baseball that day. If he gets through his next start okay at 5:10, he would be the first guy who's checked. Forget Jacob deGrom. It's not going to help hitters face him. But across Major League Baseball's landscape, how much of a difference do you think it's going to make that they're going to be checking?
Well, it's going to make a difference, but, you know, only time will tell how consistent this will be enforced. Because as we all know, an athlete that has an advantage or is able to find something, especially look at the pitchers that have been using this their entire career. And yeah, they might not use it for that week if they think it's going to be enforced, but everyone, all eyes are going to be on baseball in the moment that there is a time where they let up. There's a loophole. There's a way to get around it. Not all pitchers, but there's definitely still going to be pitchers that are going to say, I need this stuff. So if I'm finding that once we get to August, that they're not enforcing it as much, I'm going to start using it again. And I mean that we saw it obviously with steroids, and I know this gets compared in a very different way. And this is so much different only because it's not harming your body. It's not something that's illegal because it's, you know, a detriment to you long-term. This is just a detriment to the game as far as hitters. And like, it's illegal because of what it can, the ridiculous of what it can do to the baseball. But I really believe, Buster, that this is something that isn't just, okay, June 21st, here we go. I want to know August 21st, September 21st, what's this look like in October? You know, and for Major League Baseball, this is something for years, it's going to have to continuously be enforced, which is, I get, super annoying for Major League Baseball. But as soon as there is a crack in the armor, there are going to be guys using it again, like hands down, because this is something that, again, not all pitchers, but a ton of pitchers have used for a long time. And I get that almost every pitcher uses it, but there have been some that, you know, I've even spoke to that it's like a mental thing too. Like, they're worried about, okay, now my ball's not spinning enough. Like, how, I mean, Buster, you talk to pitchers, like, the mentality, the importance of the confidence, knowing the ball's going to do what they want it to do. So my concern isn't so much on June 21st as it is how long is this something that's going to be consistently looked at, checked? It's going to be super annoying for umpires, but it's going to have to be because guys are going to still try to get back to do it.
Well, and they have to check across the board. And I think, as I said to Tim yesterday, and I wrote a piece about this, it was posted on ESPN.com today, Rob Manfred needs to learn from his mistakes in the past in dealing with disciplinary situations and throw down the discipline hammer for anybody who gets caught. I would say, you know, the first sign that we got last night from, you know, the Jeff Passan wrote in his story, he wrote about how there's going to be 10-game suspension for anybody who's caught. That's what the rule has been. Like, when Michael Pineda was suspended in 2014, that's what he got. That's always been the standard. So this isn't ramped up. And I think Rob really needs to learn from what happened with the sign-stealing scandal, where he was like the parent who kept on saying to the Red Sox and the Yankees and other teams, okay, stop. You know, I'm really going to come down hard. And
totally.
They said, but all they did was fine the teams. And these are billion-dollar companies getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who cares? And then because they didn't deal with it, because Rob didn't deal with it hard enough in 2017, guess what happened? The Astros just kept on going. And then we get one of the biggest scandals in baseball history. And that's why I think Rob needs to absolutely, even if it means, you know, if this persists with a player, you know, let's say Jessica Mendoza pitching for the, Illinois Ambers, gets caught once and gets a 10-day suspension with pay. Second time, if I'm Rob Manfred and if I were to catch you again, I'm saying, you know what, 10 games without pay. And if you want to take it to grievance, go ahead, but we're coming after you.
No, and your analogy on the parent, like, this is like the parent that's literally threatening your kid. If you do this one more time, like, I mean, right, that's exactly the feeling I get with this, is that, like, we're serious this time and this is really going to happen. Like, because at the back end, like, we know that Major League Baseball, the last thing we want to do is in the middle of the games, have this be a continued media issue where everyone is talking about it. And all of a sudden we head into like the back end of season and now guys are coming out because they're using it. And the headline for baseball is that there's cheating and not the fact that there's the actual game. And I get what their fear is, but the point is it's like the parent that's worried about the kid that's going to then retaliate. It's like, no, like, you need to punish what you're saying you're going to do. And, and I think the players are waiting to be like, okay, I hear you, but like, where, how can I get to where mom and dad, do I need to go to dad? Do I need to, like, where's my loophole here to where I can get what I want? Because that's what every kid is doing. That's what every player that's using this stuff is looking at, is not so much, all right, I guess I'll never use this stuff again. I don't think one pitcher is thinking that. I think they're maybe thinking temporarily, we'll see this, but how do I get back to where my stuff can be what it is?
So I want to ask you about Trevor Bauer and his recent dip in performance, his recent dip in spin rate, because you did a piece in the offseason on his agent, Rachel Luba. You know, you talked to Trevor. I feel like, and he's getting a lot of criticism because his performance has gone down. I feel like he's been absolutely as consistent and true on this topic as anybody has been, because for years, of course, he was raising the alarm. Foreign substance issues, it's a big deal. That's how you increase spin rates. You know, why isn't anybody checking this? He was calling for additional discipline for this because he felt like it created an unlevel playing field. And then, you know, I don't know exactly what he was doing, But my feeling is probably going into, 2019. It was, you know what? If I can't beat him, I'm going to join him. He wound up getting a huge contract. He hasn't made any excuses for his recent starts. I don't think he's pretending that this wasn't necessarily an issue for him. What's your take on Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're dead on in that he has been absolutely true to just saying, look, this is something that needs to go away. And, you know, whether he uses it or doesn't or didn't, and he recognized, I mean, he was the one that basically called out Garrett Cole years ago by saying, look at the numbers, look at, this is not coincidence, you know, trying to do all that he can. He does it with Major League Baseball all the time. He's just trying to like be real with like, hey guys, this is how the sport will be better. He understood that like, fine, if you guys aren't going to do this, and all pitchers start just understanding this is what everyone can do, the game is going to go downhill. And by going downhill, not for the pitchers, I mean, you can win Cy Youngs and you do all these things, but for the hitters, like the offense, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And I mean, just watching games now, like seeing like the consistent batting averages are all hovering around 200, and just like the fact that yes, like a guy might get a hold of one, but it's so rare now. And it's fun to see great spin, but I mean, even for him, who's obsessed with the science behind the game, he wants it to be fair. And he's not afraid to admit, you know, what he's doing or what he's not and what other pitchers are. And I think he just wants it to be where every pitcher is on the same playing field, which, I mean, you can't blame these guys for wanting, you know, and understanding.
Last one on this for you. I've seen this phrase used in social media. I've seen a couple of columnists write it. I think the word cheater is completely inappropriate for people who talk about what's happened in the past, because just everybody knew this was happening. Everybody on the field, all the players, all the staffers, all the umpires, Major League Baseball, everybody knew it, which is why if someone says, well, Trevor was cheating in 2019, 2020. No, that's not the proper context. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's interesting because by the definition, like, are you cheating by breaking a rule? Like, or you're breaking a rule. But like, if it's something that, like, it's
not enforced. That Major League Baseball knowingly and made the decision not enforce the rules, I have a hard time saying that they were cheating.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's breaking a rule that's there. Like, is that cheating? Like, I mean, you can sit there and, but who was it? It was a recent pitcher that just said there still is, like, there are guys out there, you know, they might be the ones that sit in the front of the classroom and are the nerdy ones that are like, no, it's a rule, I'm going to follow it. And that's like, those are the ones I feel bad for that are ethically saying, I'm literally not going to use anything and I'm probably not going to get paid and I might not even have a job next year, but like, and I get there few and far between, but they're the ones that actually, it doesn't matter if it's enforced or not. It's a rule. And this is why it like makes me, infuriates me. Don't make a freaking rule if you're not going to enforce it, because right. It's not fair for the few that really believe in rules. Like, I know they don't really exist anymore. People are like, who does that? They do though. I've met them. Like they see that this is a rule. The last thing they want to do, and I'm not saying it's cheating or not, but there are ethically people that say it's still breaking a rule. There's something inside of me that will not do this. And then they falter for really doing the right thing. Just saying, look, I read these things that we're not supposed to do, enforced or not, I'm not going to do it. So don't make these rules, Major League Baseball, unless you're going to. I get that now they are, but the answer is like, why? It's because it's being called out. It's like the attention that it's now gotten is what's forcing Major League Baseball to do this, instead of actually just looking at the rules that they have and saying, we are either going to get rid of this rule if we're not going to enforce it, or if we have these rules, we need to make sure. It is a joke to know that it's an unwritten rule to not follow it. What the heck is the point?
Yeah, that, you know what? That sounds like a good column I'm going to start working on. It is the question of what is, to date, is what has happened to date, should we consider it cheating? I don't think so. I feel like you don't totally agree with me, but it's worth kicking around.
I wouldn't use the word cheating, but it's not following the rules. So however you want to like cheating, describe, how big is that overall picture? People would say cheating is not following the rules. I think it's cheating is like looking at someone else's test and copying it, but I don't necessarily think of it as like breaking the rules, but it is breaking the rules. So if you want to consider that, in the cheating category than it is. Like, that's, I mean, that's really what it is. It's a rule that people aren't following.
All right, Jess. Great talking with you. I knew you had very strong ethics, so I knew that that was that's a fun conversation. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no, you got it, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets. Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Tuesday. And we got two Cardinals questions here. And I think, you know, you said this yesterday. Let's stop making guarantees. So Francisco Campos writes in the offseason, you said a lot of times if the Cardinals don't win the division, there should be an investigation. Shall it start right now? Or do we really have to wait until there? And this is, he's a Cardinals fan in Brazil, Francisco. And then Brad Barber writes in, when is Buster going to start his investigation as to why the Cardinals are not winning the NL Central? Maybe he should start talking about them as sellers instead of the Cubs.
Yeah, Francisco, Brad, I don't know if you remember, who did I pick to win the National League Central? Taylor, do you remember who I picked to win the National League Central?
Did you pick I thought you picked the Cardinals.
I did not. Go back and check the record. I picked the Milwaukee Brewers to win the division.
Oh, my goodness.
I still think there should be an investigation because the Cardinals were the one team in the division with a big financial advantage over the other clubs. And my point was, in an offseason in which the Cubs did nothing, traded you, Darvish, the Brewers, you know, played the role of a small market team, the Pirates slash, the Reds slash to some degree. My point was, is that it was absolutely right for the Cardinals to take advantage of the market. And oh, by the way, probably would have been good for them to sign someone like Alex Wood for $3 million, Ryan Tepera for $800,000. My point stands.
Damn, bring in the hammer, Buster. I like it. The head fake there, because you did talk about the investigation, you know, potential investigation.
I did, and my point was, it absolutely stands true that the Cardinals, that the high ground was there for the taking. And you know what? They didn't take it.
They blew it. All right. Point taken. David at David Dogfather writes in, Francisco Lindor's average and OPS are up. Still think he can't turn it around this year. Another bold proclamation, Buster.
My point was, and again, Taylor, you will back me up on this. Yep. The question was, one in one of the shows, Tim Kirchner said, yeah, I think at the end of the year, his numbers will be same in the back of the baseball card. And my point was, nope, not enough time. He's not going to get there. Now, that didn't mean he couldn't improve his numbers, but only that he was not going to get to his usual numbers because so much of the season had passed by with him struggling.
There you go. Wow. Buster coming loaded to bear. Last one for today. Eric Johnson at E.T. Johnson 1 writes in, my son Zach made an interesting observation. He realized that if this season had been 60 games like last year, Vlad Jr. would already have won the Triple Crown. Does this make you reconsider how legitimate last season really was?
Eric, I remember, and Taylor, I think you would agree with me. We talked about this. I don't think anyone was pretending last year that the 2020 season was equivalent to 162 game season. It was what it was.
Right.
It was the COVID season. It was a truncated season, expanded playoffs, and the Dodgers were the best team through that. That's how I felt about it. I never looked at it, and I don't think history will treat it as being the equivalent of any other season.
Right. It's not equivalent, but it's also not illegitimate either. I think that is
right. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's a different season. It's like 1981. It's 1995. It's just a different season. 1994, because it just had a different number of games.
Different year in everyone's lives, too. You're not going to forget 2020.
Oh, yeah. And I think baseball will be way down the list when we talk about what was different about 2020.
Exactly. Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and Taylor, if you want, you can go back and find that sound when I said the Brewers would win the division, because I remember it was actually Hembo, and I said this on the show. Hembo convinced me, because Hembo for a couple weeks came back and said, statistically, Brewers are the best. And so I went back and dug back into it. I'm like, you know what? He's exactly right. So I wound up picking the Brewers to win the division. That's it for today. My thanks to Jess, Sarah, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.